Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, good Sunday morning to you. It's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So ever wonder how you can get a ticket to the world's most prestigious sporting events? The Super Bowl, the Final Four, the Masters, Wimbledon, many others. Jeffrey Jacobs, author of the new book, Get Off the Couch, See It Live, attended these events over five decades, and you can be there too. His tales may not only help you be a part of the crowd seeing the action live, but they might bring a smile to your face as well. So Jeff started at radio, in radio, WFYR, with Dean Richards, right?
That's right.
For the last 30 years, he's managed financial assets for investors. He was a member of the Recording Academy, which produces the Grammy Award shows, and more recently, Jeff has served on the board of Ravinia, and he joins us live in studio this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, David. Bright and early here.
Bright, we are very bright and early here.
Yes, indeed.
A lot of the joy that comes from a live sport is from the spectators, and the atmosphere in the stands can make that whole event so much more satisfying. And unlike watching it on TV, where you won't be able to soak up the moods and the feelings of other people around you, it's like live music, too. You really have to be there to experience it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Dave, the best seat in the house is always going to be your couch, right? I mean, you're always going to be on the 50-yard line. You're always going to be behind home plate or what have you. But you're not there to really enjoy the excitement, the reality. The game becomes so much more authentic when you're there in person. And you can't replace that when you're in your living room or your family room.
You can't. When did this journey start for you? So when did you kind of say, what was that first moment where you said, yeah, you know what, I'm going to get off my butt and I'm going to go figure out how to do this?
Yeah. Well, the first chapter really gets into when I attended the Cotton Bowl. And that was a result of a bunch of my buddies went to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame was in the Cotton Bowl in 1978. And they invited me to go with them, and I thought, hey, this will be fun. This will really be my first major sporting event. And I guess that kind of kicked off five decades worth of going to various sporting events, sporting events that I felt were the most prestigious, according to my provincial attitude, in the world. And it's been a lot of fun and a lot of adventure, and
So tell me about that Cotton Bowl experience. Like, you know, did you have to call some money together to get out there? Like, tell me that at first adventure.
Well, I think that the interesting thing about the Cotton Bowl, and it really was a learning experience, because my buddies, being students at Notre Dame, had access to tickets.
Sure.
And so as a result, they had extra tickets, which they were nice enough to make available to me and my cousin. And the interesting thing, of course, is that a week or two or three before the game, you'd read in the paper that tickets were going for astronomical sums. And so I think we ended up paying $10 a ticket, which was the face value.
Sure.
But interestingly, the day of the game, as we were walking towards the Cotton Bowl, tickets were going for $5 each. And so that was really a very interesting experience, and one that kind of taught me a lot of lessons, that if you're patient and you just kind of play it cool, when you're going to almost any sporting event, tickets can be had in a much more reasonable fashion than 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks in advance.
I was going to say, it gave you some insight that this was attainable, that it's not that difficult to, you know, there's so many people that in America that you could say have never been to a Final Four. They've never been to an NBA championship. They've never been to a Stanley Cup before. And it's not that challenging. There's opportunities out there where you can kind of work around it and get to that game.
Well, and you know, of course, we all are aware that there are ticket brokers and so forth. And so virtually any sporting event you can attend if you're willing to pay that money. Yeah. But I think part of the book, and part of my experiences has been you don't have to pay those astronomical sums in order to go to these events. And sometimes the answers are right there in front of you. And, you know, people just sort of say, oh, my God, you know, I just read a, you know, there's a another story about the Cubs going to the World Series and tickets are off the charts. And tickets were off the charts, but they weren't quite as expensive as you would have thought.
Same here. I thought the same thing, too, because I went to a few games and it was a lot more attainable than. And I've kind of learned from that over time that, and I've taught my son this, that, you know, we could sit in the basement and watch this, or, you know, okay, we might not take that long vacation. Maybe I'll short down by a couple days because we're going to go to the game instead. I mean, there's ways around thinking about how you're going to pay for it, too.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny. There was a story in the Wall Street Journal about a year or so ago, and they talked about what is it that makes wealthy people, and I think you can apply that to virtually all people, what makes wealthy people really happy? Is it the large, you know, the large house? Is it the brand new car? Well, no, the answer is it's experiences, and I think that applies to all people, because experiences, you're really, I mean, they serve as long-lasting memories, and you can't replace those. And memories that, you know, you share with your kids or your family or your friends or business associates or what have you. And I think that's so much part of the value of going to these various sporting events.
But to be a true fan, because some of these other fans, will say, who are diehard Cubs fans who maybe couldn't afford to go or couldn't figure out a way to go, saying, oh, you know, now I'm looking in the stands and I see a bunch of guys in suits with no jerseys on. And are they real fans? There are real fans out there, but there's also some guys that just want to, you know, spend the money and say they were there.
Sure.
Now, you're a Chicago guy, so I'm looking at all these experiences that you have in the book, and they're all really great stories. Super Bowl 1986.
Sure.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily special. And I was with a major broadcasting company at the time and had, you know, sort of put in my – I mean, this was – back in November, long before the Bears were actually in the Super Bowl, and I had mentioned to them that if the Bears perhaps do get into the Super Bowl, would they reserve 4 tickets for me? And, you know, they kind of raised their eyebrows, like, well, you know, okay, sure, you know, you're kind of playing, are you kind of putting the cart before the horse type of thing? But bottom line is, you know, I'd made plane reservations. My cousin had lived down in New Orleans at the time, so those boxes were all checked, and now all we needed to do was to make sure that the Bears ended up getting to the big the big show, and they did. And, I mean, that was probably one of my absolute most memorable moments in attending, because it was the first time that I saw my home team win.
In something.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's great to see. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so many of the events don't really involve your home team. You know, Wimbledon or the Olympics or Kentucky Derby or what have you. And those are all fantastic events, but nothing can replace seeing one of your home teams clinch a championship.
But you had foresight into looking into this in November when you didn't even know where they were going to be in this whole thing. And you just said, you know what, I'm going to just reserve my spot. And I got a buddy I'm going to stay with. There is some planning that is done here to make this happen.
Well, there is, and there's a little bit of a leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the irony, I guess, is when the Bears had lost their first game, which was against the Dolphins on a Monday night game, they actually recorded the Super Bowl shuffle the very next day. So
you talk
about, you know, presumptuousness, right?
Yeah,
and here they go to this, you know, they're planning to go to the Super Bowl with this recording. And I guess I kind of did the same thing. I mean, I think you just have to take the risk that your team's going to make it, and hopefully they will, and you'll be rewarded.
You got the World Series in 87, NBA All-Star Game in 88, and then you got the Chicago Cubs' first night game. I mean, I love looking at all these because, and I know you've been to more than one Super Bowl, you've been to more than one World Series, of course, but these were kind of those very firsts of what you did, right? I mean, these are the highlights of, hey, I hit my first Indianapolis 500, my first World Cup, my first Olympics, my first, that's very cool. But the night game, that must have been just surreal to be
well,
there.
Yeah,
and I watched it on television, and I wished I was there. And I was probably 16, 17 years old, so I'm not quite sure I felt confident enough to go down in that crazy crowd and do all that stuff, but I wanted to be there.
Right. Well, ironically, the reason why I actually ended up being able to attend that game was because a former business associate of mine actually worked at WGN.
Oh, and okay. So, all right, look at that.
Yeah. So he was kind enough to invite me to join him and his wife and daughter after, I guess, daily pleading from me. And he finally, after this constant harassment on my part, finally acquiesced, said uncle, and said, okay, sure, Jeff, please join me. But please stop asking.
Okay, all right. And that was a night, just to harken back, Jack Brickhouse actually introduced that, didn't he?
You know what? I'm actually not sure
I
who
think
did.
I think Brickhouse, even though he retired in 81, and I'm not quite sure if Harry Carey was there or if he was just on the side, but the guy who actually flipped on the lights and did it on the field was Brickhouse, because they brought him back for that stuff.
Well,
obviously.
And of course, as you might recall, the game went off, and you know, it was magnificent, the majesty of Wrigley Field, and they had George Will and the mayor and all sorts of dignitaries, Bill Murray and what have you, and lo and behold, Mother Nature in the third or fourth inning decided to play a role in the outcome, which was the game was rained out. And so the official first Cubs night game was played the following night.
The following night, that's right, that's right. NHL All-Star Game, Indianapolis 500, the Olympics, Masters, Kentucky Derby, Ryder Cup, Stanley Cup Finals, and of course being in Wrigley for the championship. And I went to a couple of games. I wasn't at the last game.
Right. I mean, game seven.
I wasn't at game seven. I was at some other games. But to just be there and feel that excitement, it's something, you are absolutely right, that I know I will never forget. And I know my son at 16, 15 years old, what he was, he will never forget that moment because he was there.
Well, now, we were at game five, which was the only home game of the World Series that the Cubs won.
Yep, right.
Did not make it to Cleveland for game seven, which, of course, would have been the ultimate. But I will say that game five, again, you know, tickets for the first home World Series game were going for astronomical sums once again. And that Sunday, my son and I decided to go down at Sunday morning at noon. We got down there at 4 o'clock. The game started at 7. We bought our tickets at 6:15. Ticket prices had come down fairly appreciably, and you know, I ended up, knock on wood, in ninth row, right behind home plate.
Wow.
Eddie Vedder was a few rows in front of me.
Yeah, I bet.
And spent $2,300, which is certainly not a small sum, but compared to what they were fetching a game or two beforehand, upwards of $25,000.
Yeah, that's crazy for those seats.
Absolutely. You know, knock on wood, I saved a few extra pennies.
You did. You did. And then you have the last chapter, and you go through all of these experiences, but you talk about ranking the events, but you talk about really the ones that are imperative to see, important to see, check the box. You talk about cost to attend, and then you give some great tips in here as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, again, these are from my perspective, and of course, you know, that's colored by some of my experiences. I mean, being able to get onto the ice when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup and taking pictures and videos of Duncan Keith and his family.
Sure.
And just playing that type of a role, going to Wimbledon and sitting in the photographer's pit. And again, you know, I'm not a legitimate photographer. So it was a very unusual, rare experience to have some of this kind of official access, if you will, and it really affected, you know, some of my experiences. So I mean, I just think that, one, if you can go to a World Series or a Super Bowl or NBA championship or Stanley Cup final of the team that's in your city, that's, you know, irreplaceable.
Absolutely.
And some of the more neutral events, like the Masters, I mean, it's just majesty. It's the cathedral of golf. I mean, you can't top that. So, I mean, I do rank these. They're, of course, you know, from my perspective, naturally. But, you know, rather than go on my specific recommendations, I just think people ought to you know, so-called put their heart on some of the events that they think would be really, really fun, and spend a few extra bucks, that probably not as many bucks as they would think that they might need to spend, and do it.
Great book, great stories, great tips in here as well. Get off the couch, see it live. The new book is by Jeffrey Jacobs, available now wherever books are sold. Jeff, thanks for sharing this journey with us, man. Well,
thank you.
And thanks for getting up early.
Yeah, this has been a journey today, this morning.
I bet it has. Yeah. I bet it has. Yeah. Thanks again, Jeff.
Thank you.